This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you. Hey, how you doing? Welcome back. It's the middle of the week. Yay. I made it through Wednesday. I am stoked. That means tomorrow is another day. Hope y'all are doing well. Hope you feel great. Hope that all of your glass projects are going smoothly, swimmingly, as some might say. I am just happy to see you guys. You know, it's like I get to this part of the week and I'm like, where are my shower door people, you know? So good to see you. Hey, we are in the process of doing some fun stuff. I like that not only do I get to meet with you guys on Wednesday, but on Tuesday mornings, I get together with some of y'alls and talk about this Shower Door Professionals Co-op that we're putting together. We've been going through this some stuff. Actually, Christina's here. I'll let her tell you about it. What's going on, Christina?
Hey guys. We meet on Tuesday mornings and it's been great and we are really making some great progress. So we finally finished the mundane bylaw conversations. We're getting the lawyers back in here. We're getting all the things finalized and, you know, T's crosses, I's dotted. And now we're kind of looking at some of the more fun things like social media and what our messaging should look like and how other co-ops and their messaging look and what to do with our Facebook page and our existing YouTube pages, because I am so sure that all of our internal complaining about Mrs. Smith or the Karens of the world, I'm sure our customers maybe don't want to see that or should not see that. So this needs to be a safe space for us. And maybe we need to have a separate safe space for our customers to find us. And we'll have some more information about that, but that's just some fun, exciting stuff that's coming around the corner. And we have some more conversations to be had with more people, and we really only meet an hour a week. So it seems like slow progress, but every hour, every week has been just killer. So we've gotten a lot done in a short amount of time, all things considered.
Agreed.
So very excited.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's really kind of incredible with, you know, just a handful of people coming through all this like legal stuff, you know, and just that we've done a pretty good job so far, I think. And really, I mean, we're just kind of we got some sample bylaws from another co-op, a solar co-op, which is pretty cool. They've been willing to just pitch in and just show us kind of the ropes of what they went through and how they got their thing set up. And so we're just kind of going through some sample bylaws and like figuring out what we need and what we don't, so that it won't cost us a bunch of money, you know, in attorney's fees for them to come through all the stuff that we're probably even smart enough to figure out doesn't belong or should be in there or whatever. So good job, everyone. Thanks for the update, Christina. And yeah, so that's where that's at. So what's going on out there? How's your week? What kind of challenges are y'all facing out there? Come on, admit it. You have challenges. What are they? Ch- challenging
I
customer.
have one.
Oh, let's hear it.
Sorry, y'all, I'm driving, but
All right.
I have one. So we just have really opened our showroom for the first time. We've been in business a long time, but the showroom is a kind of a new deal for us. And what's happening is we have customers coming into our showroom and picking a lot of stuff out. And we're making all these notes. We make a whole customer profile for them, but maybe they haven't even started their tile work yet. And so they're going to call us in a month, right? So what happened this week is we had a customer who came into the showroom last month. We picked everything out. And then they called our receptionist a month later, and she didn't realize they had come in and spoken with me. And so she schedules the appointment per usual, but she opens a new customer profile for them. And all of those notes are now separated on a different profile. And so our measuring technician, recommends something that's kind of different than what they picked out in the showroom. They sign off on it, but then the wife signs off on it, the husband doesn't know that, and now he's upset, he doesn't like it, she likes it, they can't decide. They signed off on it, but we maybe should have had, I feel bad because maybe I should have called and confirmed these changes. Maybe I should have made sure they knew it was something different than we originally discussed. I don't know. I just feel really crummy about the whole situation, and I was curious as to what you all would recommend. If you have any thoughts on showroom,
Yeah, Christina. Yeah, Smart Build has that feature when you put in a customer's name, it says, "Hey, there's already a customer with this name. Do you want to check?" So it sounds like when that person's name was typed in, they said, "Oh no, I'm sure it's a new customer." And then also you can merge the customers if you find the duplicate. So it sounds like an office issue. Not trying to be mean, but I'm saying that's where the breakdown was. I don't think you can call customers that visit a showroom and relay all their details at a future time. So it sounds like just a new policy or awareness issue in your showroom.
That's right. And that's kind of what we're trying to figure out how to handle it. And yes, Smart Builder does that. Unfortunately, and fortunately, the only way they do that is by matching up last names. And this person's last name is Hernandez. We have about 40 Hernandezes in our system. So that thing pops up like every single time we open a new customer profile. And I would not ask our receptionist to constantly check that. So my thought is maybe we ask the customer, "Oh, have you called in before? Oh, have you used us before? Oh, have you visited us before?" And maybe that's the question. I just didn't know if anybody had a policy or, I mean, it's a good one, Greg. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's where we are with it.
Yeah, normally, like with us, we don't, I mean, it's great to get all their information when they first walk in, but for us, it's never a guarantee, especially if they haven't started. So what we've been doing is just because we have Smart Builder too, is we just basically just give them a tag, like just a cash tag, and then just put all the notes in the description. And then I print out, two copies. And then, I mean, granted, with us, we're pretty small, so it's just either me or my wife handling the calls. So, hopefully they would say, "Hey, we stopped in, the other day or last month or whatever." And then I'll also give them option to, to where I can email them the quote that has all the details on it. That way it's kind of covering my bases because, I mean, we haven't had anything quite like your situation. We had one similar actually just this last week where I went to the customer's house. They didn't come into the showroom, but she, set up an appointment. I went in and I went in like I was probably the third shower door company that had come in and went over different options and stuff with her. So she kind of already had an idea of what she wanted, but was very price conscious. And so I went in, gave her options for a semi-frameless and a frameless option. And unfortunately, with Smart Builder, when you're building the quote, you know, with a frameless, it'll give you a whole diagram, or the customer will, will get the diagram of basically what the shower is going to look like. But on semi-frameless, it doesn't. It basically, we just have it listed on, you know, what's included and whatnot. So she went with the cheapest option, not realizing that it was a semi-frameless, even though it said clearly on the description of what she was, you know, putting the deposit on. We place an order, we go out and install, and she wasn't home. It was her daughter. So her daughter takes a picture after the guys are already done installing, and she calls me freaking out. That's not the one I wanted. That's not what I ordered. You know, we had talked about, you know, XYZ, and you guys, you know, installed this. And so it's been a big old ordeal. And I felt bad, and I was like, there's my hands are tied. I mean, we already installed, and this is what you paid for. This is what you know, signed off on. And yeah, and then we offered to, you know, take out the unit that we put in. I was like, hey, I'll basically put in a frameless unit at cost, but I can't just eat both showers and give you one for free, like, you know. But yeah, she
Yeah.
wasn't very.
What we do, I hear you 100%. You send a nice drawing on the frameless, and then the framed is like a list of parts or
Yeah.
something. It's horrendous. So we
Yeah.
saved a picture of a semi frameless in the, you know, the job listing stuff out of the templates, and we pull that and throw that in there so it shows up as an example of the style quoted. So that way they can see the and it's something that's already pre-done, so we just pick it and load it, and it shows up as a page on the quote.
Gotcha. So you're able to, and we haven't had Smart Builder for very long, but so you're able to basically load that picture as a preset in there.
Yeah, you can add it separately, but you can also have a bunch, like we have our handle options. So we'll actually add a handle options that has all the pictures and the pricing, and we just add it to the quote. So it'll show up, and it's a page with pictures on it and everything. So you're or you can just add a picture randomly. But it makes a huge difference visually for people when, as you know, as
Yeah,
when
because
that stuff
that,
happens. So that's because smart builds, of course, big weaknesses, of course, and Michael Merlini and I spent a lot of time talking about this, is the limitation of CRL only hardware, which means you can't put certain handles on it, you can't put certain hardware on it. And then the big downfall is the bypass sliders that aren't frameless, and it
Yeah.
won't do that. So that's what we do. We automatically attach a picture of the semi-frameless to the quote so that
Yeah.
to minimize the possibility.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
No,
we have
that's
library jobs set up with so when we add a semi-frameless, it'll add a whole bunch of line items, and one of the things will be the picture. And it's just a, and it's even noted in there, it says, you know, picture doesn't necessarily represent what you're getting in terms of finish, size, everything, but at least it gives them a general idea. Do you guys email, so after you take the deposit, I assume you take a deposit, do you guys email the receipt of payment over?
ours does it automatic.
ours does
Out of
too.
smart,
We're
out
hooked up to Stripe.
yeah. So,
Yeah, through
right.
Stripe,
So,
yeah.
I'm saying, so after you process the credit card payment, you could go into, so Smart Toolbox will it'll apply the deposit, it'll create the work order, and then if you go into print options in receipt of payment, you can email the customer the receipt of payment. It'll show the deposit, and it'll also show the rendering. It'll give them almost their receipt, showing the deposit. I've caught. Or I should say, my customers have caught mistakes just like this, and they're like, "Hey, that's not what I wanted." And it's like, "Well, that's what we talked about, and that's what you paid for." But it gets
Yeah.
caught on that email because they get a receipt showing that their balance, that the balance is due, what the deposit was, and they get the rendering of what you're about to order or already have ordered. But you know, one or two occasions, it doesn't happen very often. I've got an email back like, "Hey, that's not what we wanted." And it gives us time to catch it, but I don't know if that would help or not.
Yeah, we've only caught one other one where I mean, it was a slight detail. On, I think it was like either a handle or a color option for the customer. It was technically, it was the customer's fault. They didn't read which, I guess, hardware option was which, and they said, hey, can you just double check this, because I wasn't sure, because it came in, you know, 101A and then 101B or whatever, because there was a revision. And we were able to catch it that way. But this one, like I said, she just went in, bam, bam, bam. And I just assumed that everything was fine because that's what I, you know, explained in the description. And now we're,
I agree.
She's not happy
not to order it. We just make it part of our process that we send over during the ordering process. We email them a receipt that says, hey, thanks for choosing Ideal Shower Doors. Please find your receipt payment attached, blah, blah. And they'll usually read that email. Customers tend to like to know that their payment was applied and that you received their value. You know what I mean? So they're going to read that receipt and they're going to kind of review it. Like I said, you know, we've done thousands and just maybe one or two have come back to us and be like, hey, that's not what we want. And it gave us a little, it gave us the opportunity to
Now you guys walking through the details at time of deposit. We walk through all of the details at time of deposit. We do not assume that they got the quote and they're like, and they go, yeah, well, I want a deposit on it. And then we don't go, okay, great. We'll see you.
Well, now I'm not, now I'm not assuming anything. Cause I thought, you know, just thinking it was clear in the description, especially since, and I told her that, you know, prior to me sending the quotes that, hey, when I send this over, one's going to have the diagram of the frameless. It's, you know, all nice and pretty. The other one is just going to be kind of like bullet points as far as what the description is and whatnot. And I had the understanding, or at least I thought I had the understanding with her, that that's what was explained. But definitely I'm going to look into adding pictures like what you were saying, and you know, like Mike was saying too, as far as the follow-up, that's a good idea as well.
Yeah, they'll ignore a lot of your correspondence, but usually the receipt, they're like, oh, I paid, I want to make sure that my deposit. So they, that's an email that they usually open. And now it's them checking kind of themselves.
But you know, customers, sometimes they'll have a memory in the showroom that they thought was definitely a decision or something, even though your notes show completely the opposite. So at time of deposit, we walk through every, you know, hardware choice, finish choice, style. And it takes time, especially when you think you're too busy. But boy, it saves a lot on the end. It saves an awful lot on the end.
Absolutely. Well, and they talk to, you know, I think I heard that customers on average talk to about three companies. They get three quotes. And so they might have had a conversation with another company and get you mixed up, especially if somebody's trying to use your brand. So it just gets messy. It's gotten messy. And the renderings on Smart Builder have saved our butts just, you know, tenfold. But the problem is we, you know, these customers picked out a crescent slider, which looks an awful lot like a Serenity on these renderings. And so the one we installed was a Serenity. That's the one we've finalized and had re-quoted them with. And what they paid for ultimately, but then, you know, it looks the same on the quote. I mean, you get the barn style rollers, etc. And so now I feel like so crummy about it, but the price was totally different. And if I were in their shoes, I would have wondered why the price changed so dramatically too. I mean, it went down by quite a bit, and I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I feel crummy about it. We're probably going to replace it, but it's just...
Yep, I feel you. I'm right there. Right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, well, what are some other solutions? What are you, the rest of you guys thinking about as you're listening to this conversation?
One of the things that we practice in our showroom is asking the walk-ins, you know, do you have a project started, or does your designer or your builder have your project started with us? And then they'll say, oh, I'm not sure. And we'll just say, what's your address? And then we can really pinpoint, like, we have something rolling for you based on an address, because phone numbers could be 15 different things, names, businesses. Sometimes they don't remember their designer's name. The project address really pinpoints that, that location is being theirs, and then we can take off from there. It also saves, you know, we price things separately for the contractor versus a homeowner. And, you know, we typically give a kind of like an MSRP to our contractors to say, hey, this is a good place for you to live in because our customers would pay more than that if they came to us directly. And a funny thing about that is there were some new contractors that the clients liked our interaction at our office so much better than working with them and their designers. They're like, we don't care what it costs extra to go with you. We'd like to cut them out, which is an awkward conversation to have, but it did give my team a little bit of confidence that they're doing a pretty good job, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, Sam, you make a good point there. A couple of them. When I started, way back, started assigning job numbers, my job numbers were always like six characters. It was the first numbers of their address and the first letters of their address. So if it was like 12, Robinson Street, it'd be 1, 2, R, like that. And then because really the address is key, because you might be talking to the wife, you might be talking to the husband, you might be talking to the renter, maybe a contractor. And especially like when 6 months later someone calls you and says, hey, you guys were out here 6 months ago and installed this, and I've got this question, or I've got this problem or whatever. And you're like, oh, so what's your name? And it's like, well, I don't have your name in my system. I mean, what was it, a contractor you worked with? So there's a whole lot of this you have to go through. Whereas if you ask for the address, and if you're track and any even if you don't use like the address as a job number, of course you've got the address in your records. It's easy to look up that way. That's a good one.
So what do you do in Carmel? There are no addresses.
Oh yeah, it's like a bird on the wing, is the name of like. So Carmel is weird. It's like they don't have addresses. They name their houses. So Carmel Village, right? So it's like, what? So you put it into Google. Google doesn't know what you're talking about.
They don't know where you're going.
So it's like, yeah, drop a pin, and like send it to me so I can find you. Get in the close to the neighborhood and just start yelling, name. Maybe they'll come out of their house and show you where they're at. One thing advantage that we have is that we don't offer a very large selection of products. So, for example, we don't do semi-branded shelves. So there's no danger of accidentally giving somebody a frameless for a semi-frameless, or vice versa. That's not going to happen. Now, like, we have a bypass, like a manufactured bypass. You almost have to do that because people have tubs, and it's like, or rentals, whatever. So that's a big thing. Another thing is like, we don't sell serenities. We just don't, I mean, so it's like we don't have that issue of mixing up a serenity with a crescent. I mean, I know not everybody can do that, or not everybody feels comfortable doing that. But I mean, one thing I did right away was I knocked out the bottom rung of all of the products. It's like I don't sell. I mean, I never did. It's just like the bottom or the lowest price model and whatever thing, I just didn't sell. So when I was doing a lot of those, stick stall or whatever, they always have like kind of the builder's model or whatever, just like the bottom of the line 3/16 inch glass and like flimsy aluminum or whatever. And
Like the P1500.
yeah, like the P1500 or something like that. Yeah, it's like I would just not offer that. Just go straight to the P2000, right? Or
I'm
whatever.
starting to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because that really does solve a lot of misconceptions. And people want to offer, and some of you guys may totally disagree with me, and that's cool. But it's like, a lot of us, we want to offer like all, a ton of options. And a lot of times it's really not that helpful to customers. I mean, if you give them too many choices, it's hard for them a lot of times. So yeah, that's one way to approach it.
Yeah, I'm scrubbing out those too. I'm just selling. If anybody wants like a bypass, I'm only selling the 5000s with the thicker glass in it. That's about it. They want that, and then they want a semi-frameless.
you know, return pen. I have guys here that could do it for me. I don't want to do them, but my guys will do them all day.
Yeah,
but I'll sell them.
Depends.
But
it depends
I'm
on what you do.
But I'm charging a lot though. I'm not charging them cheap. People think you're gonna come here and get new. You're gonna pay some money.
Yeah. Us too. We charge like even for like those bypass showers. I mean, I don't even want to tell you guys what we charge for that. Like a lot. You know, when I started out, I think I was doing those for like I was doing like a tub enclosure for like $600 or something.
I remember those days.
Yeah,
those good days.
You know, now it's like
it's like $1,700, $1,800 almost.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you know, sometimes that's just the right solution for them, and it's like, I mean, it costs you that much to send a crew out there. The materials aren't that much cheaper, right? I mean.
Nah.
It's weird, you know. It's like I look at whenever I do one of those, I look at the cost of the kit that I buy. It's like, damn, I could have bought frameless glass for that.
Yeah.
So you have to charge as much as you would almost for frameless anyway.
So what was this whole conversation about? I was late to the to
yeah.
The
you were
party.
Late, man. What were you doing? Do you have an excuse? Did you bring a note?
I was snoozing off. No, I was doing an estimate. I got stuck, so I was working on it. So now I'm done.
Those things will put you to sleep, man.
Like, yeah, seriously. And then I was watching TV too. So like I kind of yeah that too. And I was watching TV.
I do great, you know, as long as I'm moving. Like, if I keep moving, I could work 12, 16, 18 hours a day, no problem. And I still have energy to spare. If I sit down on the couch for 5 minutes, man, I'm falling asleep. It's hilarious. But anyway, Adrian, we were talking about customer issues where, like, you get to the end of the job and it's all installed and they're like, oh, that's not what I asked for.
Yeah.
You ever have something like that?
Ever since I had the showers online, I haven't had a problem with it. Even better with follow-up, because you're able to send templates and stuff with shower doors to your customers and exactly what they're getting. So, and then you record the conversation on follow-up. So they say, oh, that's when I didn't order that. Then you just go back to the conversation and that I have it right here. What can I do? You know, am I gonna take it out and, you know, give it something, you know? No, it's sorry. It is what it is. So, and they signed on the dotted line. That's what it is. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that cute.
So you guys, you know, I don't know about you guys if you guys don't have a like follow up, but I suggest you guys get it. It's 100% helpful. Very much.
Very I love it. I love
I use it.
It.
Thanks, I use it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, it's
it costs
not, it's awesome.
It costs money, but you gotta spend money to make money. And if you make a mistake and it costs you money, well, it's paid for itself.
It doesn't cost that much.
No,
cost that much. It's way cheaper than
a mistake,
or like someone you'd have to hire to do all that work that it does for you. I mean, it's way cheaper than that, and it's like
it's really good.
You don't have to worry whether it's going to show up for work, you know, like it does. Nope. It shows up for work every day. That's pretty awesome.
The only thing is that sometimes you get a message at freaking 1 o'clock in the night from a customer, and like finding response to you, and
you don't have.
No, I'm not answering it. It's just I get the ding. I'm like, oh man, what?
You get the ding, and then you can't go to sleep.
We can
yeah,
out
seriously.
What's the ding?
We can modify that for you. Well, we can modify when you what blocks of time you get any notifications whatsoever.
Or it could like play you a lullaby.
You know, I haven't got them late. Hey, Robert, I haven't got them lately, so maybe I think you already fixed this for me.
Maybe yeah, there's a lot of things like that. Just
yeah, I think you already fixed. I haven't got them for a minute, but yeah, so it's been a while.
On the other side, for the other software y'all use, I know y'all said it identifies the person by last name, but see if there's, I know a follow-up, we're able to adjust the conditions based on how it identifies a contact that might be a duplicate, because it already does it by email or phone number. But maybe in your softwares that you're currently using, the developers or the team might be able to go change or focus on one major setting that could really help y'all, which is add a search function for finding duplicate contacts based on two other parameters. And then you being able to check those on would really save this scenario that Christina was talking about at the beginning. Person comes in showroom, gives info, then calls in two different estimates and processes and decisions get made, but no one identified that it was the same customer until the end. So there's different ways you can catch that in your system or ask them to change their settings so that it can help you catch that. So you don't have to go change a whole new system. I, of course, would recommend follow-up because we got it all. But whatever software you're using, you can build elements and use outside apps to fill in the gaps you don't have. So you're not missing these necessary things to help save your office time. At the end of the day, it's all time.
Christina, actually, it's a good sign that you have enough volume and enough people that this could happen. If there's only one of you or two of you, you're like, oh, I know Mrs. Jones. I know everything about, the house and the fence that she bought and the garage door people she worked with. When you've got people that you're processing at that volume level, that stuff's going to happen. So it's a good problem to, I mean, it's not a good problem to have, but it's the fact that you have that much volume is a good sign.
You could have worse problems, right?
I thank you for that, Greg, actually. And I am recognizing that this is like a really good process improvement opportunity and things like that. What stuck like a $4,000 report. I mean, this was enormous. This was a huge job. The other deal is there's a huge language barrier, so we really rely on pictures and things, diagrams. But I would be interested to see the diagrams and things that follow up shows how it might differ from smart building, because I don't honestly know that smart builder could have done it, or smart toolbox could have done it any different or better. All the work, all the descriptions, everything is there. And at the day, they paid their best. But the fact that they're unhappy doesn't really sit right. We're trying to figure out a way to make this not hurt so bad for anybody. And I just don't know what to do. So I'd be interested to know
Well,
what follows.
it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. Take your lumps and move on. So that's my advice. Take your lumps and move on. It,
Well,
you know,
and then.
and you'll learn a lesson from it. And the painful ones are the ones you learn the lessons from. I mean, the ones that really hurt, the ones you learn the lessons on. So the fact is, you can say, you can do this. Well, the paperwork is this way. She signed it. They did this. I mean, you want to be right or do you want to be successful? So
Yeah, good, great point, Greg. So now, like, walk us through that. So walk us through the process of just taking your licks. What does that sound like? What does that look like?
that's the sound of you opening your wallet and your checkbook when you don't want to.
No, I mean, but
That's the
like,
sound.
what's the conversation sound?
Well, the conversation all sounds like, well, this is what we sent to you. Was there a misunderstanding? And in this case, I don't think Christina has a whole lot to stand on. They came in the showroom, they made their selections. Christina's system broke down. So maybe you can negotiate your way out of it, but the size of the job shouldn't determine what your response is. Because if this was a sepal change to a square handle, you would have done it already. So you need to eat it, learn your lesson, move on.
You know,
Ouch.
when
But
I
thank
find myself in a situation like that where it's like, okay, I screwed up and it's like there's no way out, I'll usually just ask the customer, what can I do? What can I do for you? What is it that you would make you feel better? What could I do to make that would make you feel like you could live with this or whatever? And put it on them and ask them. A lot of times you'd be surprised how reasonable a person might be. A lot of times it's just like a couple hundred bucks goes a long ways with somebody. Just being, just being honest, like, hey, you know what? This is my mistake. I blew it. This is not normal for us. What can I do to make this right? And they haven't even really thought about that because they're not expecting that. They're expecting you to dig in. They're expecting you to fight. They're expecting you to blame them. They're expecting you, you know. And when you just come at them with like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. What can I do?" They're like, "Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, if I took some money off of this, would that make you feel better?" A lot of times it will. A lot of times you don't have to. I mean, it may not work every time. So you may have to redo the whole thing, you know, but you may not. You'd be surprised.
And Chris, to elaborate on your thing, a lot of time I start with that phrase at the very beginning, before we even talk about a solution. I want you to know at the end of this conversation, if you're not happy, we will remove the shower, give you your money back, and repair your tile. Now that we have that part out of the way, let's talk about your solution. And it completely deflates them, completely knocks them down, because they know I'm not fighting because of the dollars. I basically want to make sure they're happy. So we start, at least 100 times over my career, I've started the conversation that way. Before we even get going, at the end of this conversation, if you don't like my proposal, this is what we'll do. We'll give you your money back with a smile. I'll write you a check. I'll hand it to you cheerfully, and we'll move on. And then they're ready to talk at that point, because you've taken away all their leverage. And you mean it. And you mean it. There are not very often, but a couple of times I've written a check, smiled, and handed over.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I want to chirp in here, because what Greg said is the absolute perfect advice. And Christina, what I would say is, after you do that, all you would have is a conversation with the customer and say, "When we do make you happy, would you do me at least a favor and post a review on Google for me and say how there was a misunderstanding and this company stood behind it?" Because that review is going to bring you more business than 15 five-star reviews saying, you know, they were on time, they did a good job. Every company is a good company until something goes wrong. And it's the ones that fix, the ones that go wrong are the ones that are going to get the higher ratings. So let them be and sing your praises that, okay, they made a mistake, but they fixed it. Go ahead. You know, take the higher road, take the blame. But at the end of the day, the message that gets out there is you're the kind of company that stands behind your product. And that says volumes, and it's worth more in advertising than the money that you're going to spend on that. So if you need to justify it in your mind, look at it as advertising dollars.
I'd like to add something to both Greg and Bill as well from a neurological standpoint. I believe what every single human being wants more than to be right is just to be heard. And when Greg starts off by saying that, if you, Christina, if you ever saw the movie 8 Mile with Eminem, and he, at the end he's doing that rap battle and he starts talking about himself, basically what he's done is he's taken all the problems away from the person. And now they're like, "I don't have anything else to talk about." And it almost like triggers this reciprocity. You're like, "You know what? Like Chris said, they're not fighting me. They cowered to my demand. Now I'm going to take it easy on them." Some people won't. You know, a very few will kind of stick it to you. And then you learn a lesson. Never do business with those type of people. But when you start the conversation off that way by saying, "No matter what happens here, I want to let you know that we will 100% refund you." Right there, they're getting flooded with like dopamine, like, "Oh my God, I won. I won." And now it's just playing small ball. Like Chris said, I would always start with, "What do you think we can do to make you recognize I fucked up? My tail's between my legs. I'll give you the shirt off my back. What can I do?" And they're like, "You know what? Take 200 off and we'll keep it." Like probably more than 60% of the time, they'll, you, Chris hit, because I used to have to do this a lot. We were fucking up. We were putting in so many orders that we'd go through a patch of these. And then we're like, you know, we got to stop this. But mitigating those problems while they were happening was a combination of what Chris and Greg both said. And then later in the career, you realize why that was happening, because I recognized it myself. I wouldn't get as mad at somebody if I felt like they heard me first, which is the definition of empathy. If you can see the other person through their eyes, not yours, and articulate it to them, only then seek first to understand in order to be understood, is that's how you do it. And you'll be blown away how many people will really just bow to the situation after that. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And if it makes you feel better, put 20 grand in a savings account and yeah. when it's, and then just write checks out of it. And that's your advertising, like Bill said.
Ooh. I didn't mind doing it because I didn't go to college. So we paid for me. My tuition was like equivalent to Harvard. We made so many mistakes.
The school of hard knocks.
Oh, yeah. You only remember something when it costs you money or time. So you'll never forget this. I will also say on the front end of these conversations, one thing I notice if it's person to person, like we had a problem with scheduling appointments and then people not showing up to the appointments or canceling last minute. And it kind of screwed up the whole day. And there's kind of a series of confirming of the appointment. Like it would take too long for me to explain, but actually having them repeat some of the things back to us, like on the date, sounds like Tuesday is going to be best for you. Yeah. Tuesday is great because Monday I got golf and Tuesday I'm going to be there. Okay. So just to recap, Tuesday's good because you got Monday on golf. And for some reason, because they said part of the conversation, they're more apt to stick with it. Mm-hmm. It's a real like innocuous thing, but we actually do that with a lot of the hardware, like the way we read back the takeoff to them and have them say, which finish was that again? And they're almost confirming. And the act of actually saying it seems to maybe like put a little bit more of a stamp on it than just saying it was on the paperwork. This is what you signed off on. Because you're right. They go to a million people. They're talking. They don't know. They're not used to it like us. And they think they thought something, but they didn't. But actually having the act of like going through the takeoff and asking certain questions to trigger them to give you the response back ends up a lot of times making them remember. You almost have to be able to identify that type of customer. Like, I feel like I can almost see that customer when I start talking to them. Like, they're not actually listening to what I'm saying. They're trying to tell me what they want, but they're not listening to what I'm saying. And so I almost have to repackage how I'm selling to them just so I know it's landing. Because I'm afraid of that. You get out there and you install, like, this isn't what I want. I'm like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? And, you know, after doing that 100 times like you, you start really analyzing every aspect of that sale. Like, did I communicate it as well as possible to this individual? I say to my kids, okay, what are you going to do when you get to so-and-so's house? I'm going to call you. Okay, you better, because you said you were going to. It's almost like a gentle reminder. That's why we have like these sales tables in our show. Like, we sit down with them and we go over all that because that extra time there saves from like, look what this could potentially cost. And believe me, everybody on this call has had those. And it won't be the last, I'm sure, but hopefully it's the biggest one.
No, like I appreciate all of the feedback and the ideas to make the situation better. I am going to take those back, and we're all brainstorming at the office because everyone is just sick about it. And I do want to clarify though that this is not a hostile customer. They are really nice people. They are happy with the shower that we've installed, but it just wasn't what they were expecting. And they paid their, but they're like, is there any way to get this other thing, or we're kind of thinking that it's like a little wishy-washy, but the other wrench is that they don't speak English and I don't speak Spanish. So that's also been a fun learning experience working through one of our technicians, who's obviously a fluent Spanish speaker, and he's very helpful. In all of this, and he's come up with some fun ideas too, but we're just, it's not a hostile situation. And I'm thankful for that. And we did start with saying like, we are so sorry. I duplicated your profile. I've miscommunicated. And, you know, we did that, and they are totally fine. Just that I want them to get in their shower and be thrilled. You know, it's just that. It's silly, but it's what we do. So thank you for the ideas. I will take them back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you're in a good position. You know, it's like if they're nice people, you've taken responsibility and utilize that employee who speaks the language. I mean, that's smart.
Christine, the other thing I've done is, let's say you negotiate something, but you kind of get the vibe that they feel like they're settling a little bit, but they'll do. I often say, 3 months from now, if for some reason you say, gosh, I wish I hadn't have made that deal, I wish I hadn't agreed to that, this shower is still bothering me, then we will reopen negotiations. This is not the, even if I've written a check, 3 months from now, you come back, and if it bothers you, let me know. We'll reopen the conversation. We're not final unless you're happy.
I love that, and I will use that. And let me ask you guys this, because this is where we are now. The issue that I'm having and difficulty communicating is not actually about how much money it is. It's really that they're concerned that the panel is wobbly, and they're opening to describe the shower space. It is a corner shower. So it's a slider with a return panel. The door is on the wall, and then it's an inline panel and a fixed return. It's a Serenity slider, but their opening width across the front is 88 inches wide. So not even remotely small. And he's saying that the inline panel is wobbly, and he wants the crescent slider that we originally sold, because he thinks that will stiffen it up. And my real concern is that we're going to go through all that and do that, and it's still going to be wobbly, and he's still going to be unhappy. And we're trying to say that, but I think that he probably is interpreting that as, well, they just don't want to fix it. And I can understand where he's coming from. I don't know how to communicate this. I just simply don't even know how to communicate this. So what would you do? What
do you think if you replace that? It is 3/8 glass, right? Do you think if you replace that fixed panel with 1/2 inch glass, it would stiffen it up as much as a different header? Because if so, it'd probably be less expensive.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. 1/2 inch, and then put some the heavy duty brackets mounted to the wall. Keep the flex. Maybe that would help.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Idea.
Have you conveyed at any point the expense or the cost of the expense or the burden of the expense in a way that they would feel like you were trying not to take the extra steps? Okay.
In Spanish.
Thank you. Gracias.
I don't know everything our technician has said in Spanish. I've been sitting with him, and I can hear words that I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of know what he's saying, and I'm kind of understanding the sentiment. Nobody's unhappy, nobody's angry, nobody's like playing anybody, it's all good. But I couldn't say with great certainty what he said. But
where are y'all having these conversations? Is this only audio through person, or none of these are email or text or documented? It's just phone call and in person.
I follow up with from every phone call that Santiago is having with this customer. I follow up with an email reiterating what was said, but it's all in English, so that's all I can do. I don't know what else to do.
Got it. Okay. I installed, well, in any desktop version that you have, I installed inside of the follow-up users accounts Google Translator, so they're able to, the staff can at least have at the click of a button a way to translate any language that comes in by hovering over it. But, and then in theory, they could use that translator to type things in English and paste what the Spanish version is back to it and explain to the customer, this isn't perfect, but this is so we can move along until the primary language speaker can jump in and clarify everything that's been said is correct. But that's one thing I've done. So at least we can have these conversations documented in some way. We're able to go decipher them back and try to have the phone calls route through the actual app where we have it automatically recorded. So we have some reference in case this all blows up in our face. And then if it works, we have some template to process, like some process to template and say, this is what we do for our multi-language. Instead of saying we don't serve them, here's how we're going to serve them, and the extra layers of steps we're going to have to go through to open ourselves up to a whole nother customer base. along with many other people that aren't going to stop being customers and increasing in volume and purchasing power mainly.
Christina, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many, if you had to add up, like how many hours you've spent trying to solve this problem between you and your staff and your Santiago and the phone calls and the, give me an hour.
Four.
So it's not just the lost time and labor that you're losing. It's the lost time that you could have been doing other stuff in those 4 hours. So like at some point, you just bite the bullet and you're just like, all right, just end it. You know what I mean? Stop the bleeding.
Yep.
Make it right. Like Greg said, you know, take the beating, move on, make sure they're happy with that's the most important thing, making sure they're happy. You don't want to make them kind of happy. You know, you don't want to go through 4 hours, 6 hours of labor, give them a little bit of money off, and they leave kind of happy because you just spent all this time. You know what I mean? You're just better off from making sure they're 100% happy, biting the bullet 100%, moving on so you can just conduct business tomorrow. You know, selling Shadows, going back to
what, going back to, and you're in a financial position to do it, Christina. And Michael's right. Not only that, I'm going to add on top of that the mental exhaustion of the entire office is going through. You're having meetings, you're talking, just fix it and spend the money and move on.
Yes, I hear you. But my question now is, will fixing it actually fix?
That's what I'm hearing what you're saying. It's like, is just replacing it with a crescent going to fix the problem? It's like, I hear that's what it is. It's not replacing it. It's not refunding it.
Go with your gut. Go with your gut. Pull the money. Pull it. Fix it. Give them their money back. Move on. Fix
it. Put a half-inch panel up. Exactly right. Yep.
Give them a half-inch panel and a refund.
Yeah. And a public flogging.
And a public flogging. Out through glass.
In Spanish. In Spanish.
Speaky Spanish.
English subtitles. Don't forget the English subtitles.
No bueno.
Mucho dinero.
Bill brought up about the review, because that is powerful. I mean, that's what we do. We hang our hat on our reviews, and because we don't do a ton of advertising, so that's definitely worth its weight in gold. Because like I said, I've got this customer. This literally just happened, you know, earlier this week, and she's still uneasy about it. And now, you know, listening to all the conversations, I think I'm going to, you know, come back to her and be like, hey, you know, let's kind of work something out, just because I want to make sure that she's happy. So, because, I mean, it's definitely, you know, my reputation is, I think, worth more than a couple $100, you know, as far as, you know, just dealing with it. So I definitely some good conversation.
Let me add to that, Cameron, because that's really good. Christina, usually when a customer's like that, you're not the only one she does that to. And she could be like that in her life. It could be her neighbors and everything. But when you get her to do a review, the people are going to say, oh my God, if they can do work for her and make her happy, they got to be good. Just because that lady already has a reputation. And you've made her happy, where everybody else either walks away, gives her money back, or just complains about her. So that's even more powerful, that she writes a review, signs her name to it, and you use it. Because the people that know her will say, oh my God, she made her happy. That's, you know, that's who I want to do business with.
We get the people doing the Google reviews now down in Naples when they want sweeps, because we used to charge, I don't know, $5 or $10 for a sweep. And now it's like, while we're cutting it, we make them do the Google review while they're doing it. We'll kind of slow play it in the back, and then I'll bring it out to them just to get the Google review.
Nice.
It's worth a lot more. It's worth so much more.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I say, if you throw a picture of our showroom in there, a selfie picture, then I'll give you two of them. We got a lot of them, actually. We got a lot of them.
That's brilliant, man.
Yeah, it helps with your
SEO. I'm gonna institute that tomorrow.
Yeah. It, you know what it actually cost you to process a $5 or $10 charge on a credit. Like, think about how many hands have to touch it. They got to digitally enter it. They got to reconcile it. Like, it's stupid. It's not even worth it. It probably cost you $15 to process $10. Better off getting the Google review.
We actually give sweep replacements no charge for our customers. So they'll come in 5 years later and go, I need, this is all gunky and can I replace? And we go, oh, did you get the shower here? Oh, yes, yes, we did. Oh, then it's no charge. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's kidding me?
Yeah, we charge them and just say, all you got to do is tell two friends about us. That's it.
No, Google review.
That's all you got to do. They will. Just ask for the referral.
Now that I love it. Will you go out to somebody's house and replace it too, or they have to come pick it up for sure?
No, they come pick it up.
Yeah, I'll come pick it up.
They got to bring their other one. We match up the size.
Wait. If I knew we were going to be in the same neighborhood and I had the opportunity to do that and I wasn't going to have to really go out of my way, I would rather do that because I think it would blow their mind. Mm-hmm. But if I wouldn't drive 30 minutes to someone to drop off a sweep, unless I was going to be in that area.
Or they
have to be a special situation.
Do you rub your ass on their window too when you go throw up?
You know what? I'm glad you asked it. If the price is right, I'll do just about, yeah.
Well, I'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Only four minutes left. Thank
I'll
goodness.
Try almost anything.
It's getting murky. It's getting murky around here.
Hey, I had to mention something about that video. That thing was funny.
It's scary that you've got somebody watching you from California.
I know.
It's too funny.
See him all the time.
I guess his kids involved. I'm like, oh damn.
Yeah.
This weekend probably be the re-debut of Keith number 1 and 2.
Yeah, I put them to work for sure when we're at the game.
They get the day off Friday, right?
Anytime they ask me for something, it's just like, oh, you want this? What am I going to get? You're going to need a piece of content.
And I like it. I like it because they're actually better.
Yeah.
I'll do it for a Google review.
Yeah.
Right?
For content.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy the perks of the business. You might as well help with it.
That's right.
There you go. Love it. What else? Any last thoughts? Any words of wisdom? Close out.
No, I just want to thank Christina for volunteering to be the victim tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She took it like a champ.
She did. She's brave enough to say something. It's like Keith said, everybody's been through it. She's the one who brought it up.
That's what you should do, Chris, is have everyone make a list of really particular situations that have come
up. Your most
up.
Embarrassing moment?
I've had, oh yeah.
It could be a fun night.
Christina had a comma. I had two digits in front of my comma. So like four is not a problem.
Oh.
I can remember what the house smelled like at the job that I dropped the ball on. I remember everything.
It's like going back it's like going back to your elementary school and it smells the same before there, right?
I'll never forget that customer.
No doubt. Well, thanks you guys too, Greg and Bill. You know, it's like you guys always have great advice. Really just like you guys are class acts and I kind of aspire to be like that. I'm not quite there, but I want to be more like you guys when I grow up. So thanks for being here, everybody.
I think you're done growing a little bit, Chris. I don't know.
I'm done growing up.
You say when or if?
All right, you guys. See you next Wednesday.